Support comes from Bellingham's Whatcom Museum with its historic Hall of Birds on May 31st and June 1st, hosting bird taxidermist and museum preservationist Alice Markham for a weekend of events and workshops. Details and tickets at whatcommuseum.org.
Hey, good morning. It's Paige Browning. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. We all know how expensive it is to live in Seattle. Doing taxes this year certainly reminded me of that reality. So today, in recognition of Monday's tax deadline, we're talking Finance 101 in our expensive region. Financial coach Suzanne Klink has some words of wisdom and some tips to get started if planning sounds daunting. But first, let's get you caught up. A new trial starts today for Amanda Knox. She was accused of murdering her roommate while studying abroad in 2007 in Italy and spent nearly 4 years in prison before being acquitted of murder in 2015. And now she's arguing to have her conviction of slander overturned. If she gets the full acquittal she's seeking, that would wipe her legal slate clean. Gun sales in Washington have declined dramatically in 2024, according to federal background check data gathered by the Seattle Times. Background checks spiked in March and April of last year when the state banned AR-15-style weapons. They spiked again in December before stricter background check laws kicked in the new year. A Washington judge ruled Monday that the state's ban on high-capacity ammunition magazines is unconstitutional, but the law is staying in place as the state appeals. And the University of Washington and Amazon are partnering with universities and companies in Japan to advance research on artificial intelligence. UW will partner with the University of Tsukuba for research into different aspects of the AI industry, including how to apply it to research projects, workforce development, and entrepreneurship. Microsoft also separately announced a nearly $3 billion investment into AI and cloud computing infrastructure in Japan. That's it for now. Come back tonight for evening headlines. Monday is tax day. So a friendly reminder to file your tax return if you haven't done that yet. You have 5 more days. It's also a reminder of just how expensive it is to live in this region. And that isn't going to change anytime soon. Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows inflation in our region has been way above the national average for the last 2 years. Everything from housing to groceries to car insurance is getting more pricey. But it's a good moment to check in on your financial health. We've called in an expert today to help us think about affordability and how to make it all work. Suzanne Klink is a financial educator and coach at the Washington State Employees Credit Union, WSECU. Hey, Suzanne. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Up from Olympia.
Yes.
So you work with a lot of people on their financial health. What's the number one misconception we have about money that you hear?
I think the number one misconception about money is that everybody else has it and you don't. Or that people are...
That's what I feel.
Yeah. Or that... people around you are handling their money differently than you are and are therefore more successful. And I think that comes from social media, you know, the way we are raised. We're not raised to talk about money. We know more about Snooki's boyfriend from, you know, the East Coast than we do about our own finances.
Yeah.
The misconception is that if you're messing it up, nobody else is doing it that way. And it's difficult for people to move past that and ask for help.
Oh, my gosh. I completely feel that. And then there's the shame involved of, well, I couldn't bring this up to someone else because I know they're handling it better than I am.
Shame and fear are a common concept when it comes to money. And I don't like the word budget. It sounds like a straitjacket. So I like, you know, your spending plan. Mm. But I think a lot of folks have not gotten into the habit of writing things down because everything's on your phone and everything's on your computer. And so we don't write things down and we try to keep it in our head. And before we know it, things can get out of control or away from your hands.
That's a perfect place to start, knowing that that's a misconception I've certainly had and I know is floating around.
Definitely.
So I want to ask some more specific questions. A common issue for people in this region is how much we have to spend on housing. The common wisdom that I hear is you shouldn't spend more than 30% of your income on housing. But for a lot of people I know, that is just not the reality. Are people spending 30% of their income on housing here? More? Less?
If you're in the lower middle class, which is right around $100,000 to $110,000 a year, in the lower middle class in Seattle.
That's lower middle class.
Those folks are spending maybe 30 to 40%. But if you're the guy working at Starbucks or you're a student and working part-time, you're spending 50, sometimes 60% of your income on housing. And then that's where you have to make other choices for mm-hmm. your food and transportation, clothing.
Mm-hmm. So how should we think about how much we're spending on a mortgage or rent?
I think we have to start being creative and get out of the box that society has put housing into. To live in this city, if you love to live here, I'm not one to tell you, oh, you know, you're going to have to find some place to live. Get creative.
Yeah.
We have to make choices. They aren't sacrifices because you are making the choice to be here
mm-hmm.
and you want to live here and you want to create a life here. And so that what that's going to take is for you to be creative to get to the place where you are able to afford different things. So that means roommates. That means, you know, eating top ramen for a while sometimes. It means mm-hmm. walking a lot and using public transportation. It means, you know, instead of going out with friends, it means, you know, sharing a pizza at home and having mm-hmm. leftovers for breakfast the next day. It's about choosing the life you want to have and sometimes living a little bit differently now, so that you can get to the life you want to have.
Mm-hmm. I do hear a lot of these common statements about money. 30% here, you know, how much to put into retirement accounts? How much should I be saving for emergency savings, et cetera, et cetera. What rules or guidelines should we be aiming for? It's hard to keep the numbers in my head and know, well, which ones actually apply to me.
Those numbers have been set a long time ago, and there's a lot of financial talking heads that like to give you these percentages.
Yep.
As a financial educator and a financial coach, I believe that you look at yourself as an individual, just like you do in anything else. Not everybody looked good in the, you know, in the tiny little straight jeans, and some of us had to do something else, right? Who you are and your finances are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We all have an emotional attachment to money. The way we spend money has everything to do with our emotions. It has everything to do with how we feel about the people we spend time with, how we grew up, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at your finances today, you have to understand your emotions about your money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you spending 60% of your income because you want a nice apartment when the occasional person will come over? Are you not so much concerned about that, but education is incredibly important to you? So you're spending all your money on that and you're hoping your friends are going to buy your top ramen
mm-hmm.
for you. What are your priorities? And you can find out what your priorities are very easily by just tracking your spending for 2 weeks. You can find out exactly what your priorities are.
Right.
If you're spending a lot of money going out with your friends, that social aspect is incredibly important to you for one reason or another. That's not bad. That's just what your personality. And so if you want to change that, the only way you can do that is to recognize it. You have to tell your money what to do and you have mm-hmm. to name it.
Hmm.
If it's miscellaneous or if it's extra,
right,
it's gone.
Okay, so I do on my little budget spreadsheet, my spending plan spreadsheet, I have a little other category, but there's really no other or miscellaneous. I'm telling
well, there
the money
is,
where
but
to go.
You don't know what it is.
Right.
It ends up with the pizza man or it ends up, you know,
yeah,
somewhere
right.
else. What I find and what I do in my coaching practice is that I tell people, you got to name every dollar. If it's, and people don't like it when I say this, but if it's cigarettes, if it's gambling,
mm-hmm.
if it's, you know, cocktails out, if it is books, whatever it is, your spending plan is yours. It's private.
Mm.
And if you, 1 month, that other money, you name it, you know, a trip to the San Juan Islands.
Yep.
The next month it's, oh, I have to pay that electric bill. I need more money for the electric bill. And so some of my savings goes to that. And you can change its name anytime. And it does something different for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your spending plan should be done every single month. Spend your money on paper prior to it coming into your possession
mm-hmm.
and name it.
And this feels freeing to hear, actually, that it's not, okay, you know, 20% here, 5% here, 30% here, because my value of how much time I spend with friends and loved ones and spend money on that is going to be different than the next person.
Most definitely.
Who really wants to have a house at XYZ address. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be personal.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have one specific question that I'm still hung up on, which is how much we should have in our savings, emergency savings, rainy day savings. I often hear I should have 6 months savings in case I lose my job or something happens.
I hear that a lot as well in the financial world. People are like, you need to have 6 months of salary in a savings account for emergencies.
Right.
And I think that's a fantastic goal. And if you can get there, right on. But if you tell someone who just turned 30 that by this age, you should have this amount of money put away and they don't, do you think they're going to talk to you about it?
Right.
No, they're not. What you've already done is set up a wall that they can't get past. And the thought is, oh, everybody else has that.
Hmm.
No, they don't. I'm not saying that that's not a fantastic goal. I'm telling you that most Americans do not have that. I tell people, if you're not a habitual saver, after you've gotten out of debt, right, I think that you should always try to have, you know, $500 to $1,000 in your savings account. And if you don't have that right now, the average person can get that within 2 months, right? You can sell a few things, mm-hmm. not go out for coffee. That's an attainable goal for mm-hmm. most people, even a part-time job somewhere. And then if you've got debt, I tell people you don't worry about savings because debt, every time you pay off a debt, it's a tax-free raise. Right. And so debt is your ball and chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could have $2,000 in my savings and thousands of dollars in credit card debt. That savings isn't really there.
It's there, but it's not serving you.
Uh-huh.
Once your debt is paid off, I tell people whatever you can put away every single month and not take out at the end of the month, that's a good savings goal to start with.
Hmm.
For some people, that's $5 a pay period. And some people, it's $100 a pay period. You get to choose because it's your life, right? As I always tell people, this is your pretty woman moment, right? You say who, you say when, you say how much.
Yes.
You decide. And if you want to share that information with people, good on you. But if you don't, that's okay because this is your choices. This is the life that you're building for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to take that money out in the middle of the month, if you have to use a credit card, then you're not saving.
Mm-hmm.
I also tell people, out of sight, out of mind. So if you have automatic savings, so your financial institution takes it directly out. I'm a impulse spender, which is rough for a financial coach, but I'm in therapy, so it's okay. And so
the
what
truth
I
comes
have
out.
Done, what I have done is that I have an account with WSCCU, but I have money that goes to a separate credit union that I don't have a debit card for.
Okay.
A little bit of money every single month, and I don't even miss it.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, I tickle my calendar to add $5 to that amount.
Okay.
Because $5 a pay period is
not
a big jump.
Notice.
But if somebody tells you, oh, you need to be saving $500 a month right now, that's a pucker moment for most of
us. It just feels like, well, I can't do that.
I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if I do have money I can put into savings, it's $5, it's $100,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is a month. Am I putting this into like a regular, degular savings account? Am I looking for a high yield savings account, a CD? Where should I put the money?
So if you're just starting, it's just a savings account, right?
Okay.
And then once you get to 500 to 1,000, I would always keep that liquid.
Okay.
And that's an emergency ticket somewhere. You know, if you go to Les Schwab to rotate your tires and they won't because they're bald, that'll buy you tires, right?
Yep.
But then anything after that, you want to start moving that money into something that is going to work for you. So that's when you start looking at certificates of deposit. Some of those have minimum balances. But if you're just starting a job, if you're a young professional, if you don't have a Roth IRA, I just gave you the ticket to paradise.
Okay.
If you have other money, name it Roth for a little while. Put that money in there. It grows tax-free.
Okay. So it's 500 or 1,000 in liquid, basically your
mm-hmm.
savings account. And then above that,
if you're not paying off debt.
If you're not paying off debt,
yep.
we're looking at Roth IRA, certificate of deposit.
Mm-hmm. And there are other investment options. It's really important.
Yeah.
I am not an investment officer. I work with people that are in financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so your financial institution will have an advisor mm-hmm. there, and you should be able to talk to them at no cost.
I just want to highlight that. You should be able to talk to someone at no cost.
Financial coach is an educator, at least at WSCCU. That does not cost you anything.
Yeah.
Talking to me doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to be a member. But your financial institution should have a financial planner on
right.
staff that you can talk to at no cost. Now, there might be some costs in once you start to invest, but
sure.
you should be able to get a consultation without any cost at all.
That's really good to know. If folks are listening to this and thinking, this all sounds good, but I still need some more help, what resources are out there?
There are many resources. If you have a financial institution, if you belong to a credit union, you can walk in and sit down with anyone there and say, look, I need somebody to kind of go over my stuff with me.
Okay.
I recommend that people do that at least once every year or every 5 years. Walk into your financial institution and say, hey, pull up everything I have with you, savings, checking, loans, all this stuff, because you don't know what your financial institution has to offer you. Because you're not asking. The minute somebody says, oh, have you heard about this? You're like, oh, I just came in to cash a check. Don't talk to me. But if you go in, you control it and you say, hey, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make an appointment for 10 or 15 days from now. When I come back, I want you to come up with at least 5 things that I'm not using right now that'll save me time, save me money. Maybe you can consolidate something for me. Maybe there is a service at the credit or at the financial institution that won't necessarily save me money, but it'll make my life easier. And,
yeah.
you know, so that's how you find out about your financial institution, what they have to offer, without somebody trying to sell you something. You're asking, and you're only asking for 5 things. And you also need to say, I might not use them.
Yeah.
But I want to know, I want 5 things that I don't use right now that I don't know about that could help me out.
Finances are so scary, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't feel as scary to me to just say, can you tell me what I'm missing?
Mm-hmm.
Not, oh my God, I'm in the hole. I could never get out of this. I'm too embarrassed to even go to the credit union. It's just, what am I missing out on?
Mm-hmm.
And I can
have?
Ask for
yeah.
that. Okay.
Most definitely. And you can also say, keep in mind, I don't want any pressure to take any of your suggestions. I
yep.
just want to know what they are.
Okay.
And then you can reach out to someone that you trust, you know, within your financial community or, you know, within your financial institution, or if you're interested in locating someone local to you, you can contact me and I can help you seek out a contact of mine in another credit union in your area or possibly your financial institution, depending on which one it is.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're definitely ready to help because we've got a rough haul in front of us, you know, with a looming recession and things. And so this is the time that community has to come together and support each other.
Suzanne Klink is a financial coach and educator at the Washington State Employees Credit Union. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight.
Here's a reminder as you think about your finances this week. You can make contributions to a Roth IRA until April 15th. There is an annual limit, so that can be important. And if you want to get in touch with Suzanne to discuss anything we talked about today, we'll put her email in the show notes. Thanks for listening today. And speaking of money, if you have 10 bucks left over in your spending plan this month, why not name it Seattle Now? We are a listener-supported show, and every dollar makes a difference. Thank you to the listeners who already donate to support the show. Today's episode was produced by Claire McGrain, who's still trying to figure out her Roth IRA contributions. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Our production team also includes Vaughn Jones, Andy Hurst, and Patricia Murphy. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR network. I'm Paige Browning, signing off to do my spending plan. See you later.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's Teen Dance Ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.